If you have your Bibles close by and you'd like to look along with us, we'll be in the book of Romans today in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, single verse, verse number 37. Romans 8, 37, our text verse for today. The Apostle Paul, under the guidance and direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. There was a photographer once for a national magazine who was assigned to get some photographs of a great forest fire. Smoke at the scene had hampered him, and he'd ask his home office to hire an airplane so he could get some aerial photos. Arrangements were made, and he was told to go at once to a nearby airport where the plane would be waiting. When he arrived at the airport, a plane was warming up near the runway. He jumped in with all of his equipment and yelled, "Let's go, let's go," and the pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," yelled the photographer over the noise of the airplane, "and make three or four low-level passes." "Why should I do that?" asked the pilot. "Well, because I'm going to take some pictures," answered the photographer. He said, "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." After a long pause, the pilot looked over and said, "You mean you're not the flight instructor?" Well, you know, sometimes we can begin to think maybe that's the way our life is going at times. Did you ever notice that that's the way it appears? Sometimes we even wonder if God Himself may be driving the plane, but He's not exactly sure where He's going. Ever feel like that? Ever wonder if maybe God made a mistake and sent you this direction when you should have gone the other direction? During those times, God's direction could seem lost to us. We can't figure out why He's doing what He's doing, but we dare to trust Him anyway. Still, we think that if we can't figure out what God is doing, He must be making a mistake somehow. Well, that brings us to our message for today and a self-examination of our heart, our motives, and our very lives in Christ. Do you try to figure God out? Are you blindly following Him, even though you think maybe He's not doing things the way you think they ought to be done? Let's look at this journey that we call a life in Christ and take a look at some of the things that hopefully will give us a fresh perspective as we walk with the Lord from day to day. When you walk with Christ, you've been made more than conquerors. So, our scripture verse for today tells us, you've been made more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amazing concept. That word, more than conquerors, that phrase literally means to be super conquerors. In other words, we have more than victory. We have an exceptional victory, a victory over a hard situation or even an impossible situation. We've been made more than conquerors. That idea tells us that no matter what we're facing, no matter how big the forest fire in our lives might be, we are more than conquerors through Christ. I can share a personal experience along these lines. I have heart difficulties, and many of you who know me personally have known some of the struggles that I've faced over the last 25 years since my first heart attack in the late 1990s. I'm not supposed to be here today, the doctors will tell you, because I should have died in 2006, I should have died in 1998, and I should have died the third time in 2015, 5 years ago. But I didn't, because I am more than conquerors through Christ. Now, what does that mean for somebody who is sick and did die? They were more than conquerors also. It meant that God had a different plan for me as He did them. That's what that means. It doesn't mean God loves me more. It doesn't mean God loved them less. It means that God has a perfect plan, and this is God's plan. And that's what being more than conquerors is partially about. Because when we live our lives knowing that God is in control, then allow Him to have control, and therefore you will be more than conquerors no matter what happens. Because when it's God's will, it's always the best way to go. Being more than conquerors means to conquer our fear. It means to conquer our timidity. It means to conquer those things that hold us back. Those things that say, "I can't do that," or those things that say, I've never done it that way before, so I can't try something new. More than conquerors means we follow Christ, even if we feel like he's telling us to take a step off the edge of a cliff. And when that happens, we, by faith, do what he leads us. Because when you take that step off the edge of a cliff, if God led you to do it, he sticks his hand out, and you step on the back of his hand. And I can tell you from experience, I've done that more than once, and it's the best feeling in the world. I'd rather be standing on God's hand than at the edge of the cliff any day of my life. We are more than conquerors. Christ himself was the original conqueror, and we are more than conquerors. When you walk with Christ, you've also been made more than conquerors in all these things, the verse tells us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, what exactly did Paul mean by that? In all these things refers down to verses 33, 34, and 35. Let's look ahead and see exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying in what things we can be more than conquerors. We're conquerors in spite of those who challenge our relationship with God. Oh, wow, that's a big one, isn't it? You know, there are atheists out there who say that you're doing nothing except worshiping from a Bronze Age book of fairy tales to a God that is no more real than a figure from Greek mythology. God is like a unicorn, they say. He doesn't really exist except in your mind. But ladies and gentlemen, we're more than conquerors in spite of those who challenge our relationship by telling us we're worshiping a fairy tale. We know it's not true. We know the truth is that God does exist, and we know the truth that he loves us, and he loved us enough that he died for us. And we can be more than conquerors in those who try to challenge our relationship with God. That's from verse 33. We're conquerors in spite of those who condemn us, verse 34 says. We are victorious over those who could declare that we're unworthy before the Lord. Let me just give you a word here. We are unworthy before the Lord. Do you understand what I mean? We are not worthy of the love God gave to us. But the fact is, his blood shed on Calvary means that we're worthy, not because of us, but because of his blood. That's why we are worthy. And because of those who try to condemn us because we're not worthy, God says, because of the blood of my son, Yeshua, you are worthy. Verse 34, you are worthy, no matter what the world tries to say. So you're more than conquerors of those who try to condemn us. And finally, down in verse 35, we are conquerors in spite of those who would confound us. You see, the world and the devil have been the enemies of the children of God since Adam and Eve. The attacks are becoming more and more frequent and in your face during our lifetimes than they've ever been, at least during our lifetimes, and they're going to get worse. But in spite of everything that the enemies of God throw at us to try to confound us, to confuse us, to cause us to be to take our eyes off Christ and look at them, in spite of all of that, we are more than conquerors and we are victorious over their efforts. Now, let me share one little note with you here about all three of these. We are conquerors for those who challenge our relationship. We're more than conquerors of those who condemn us. We're more than conquerors of those who would confuse or confound us. But we're not perfect. Are you all right with that? I don't know a perfect human being on the face of the earth. I know I'm not perfect. I know I make my share of mistakes. I commit my share of sins. I'm not perfect. I try very hard. I love the Lord with every fiber of my being, and I've given him everything I have, but that did not make me perfect. As long as I am human and walking in the flesh, I will have imperfections. I will stumble and fall. That's a fact of life, and it's a fact that can't be changed by anything except my separation from this body through death. Then I will be perfect because I'll have a new body at that time. But as long as I live in this fleshly, mortal body, I'm not perfect. But we do have that advocate, and that's why we're more than conquerors. Because even when you fail, even when you sin, we have an advocate with Christ Jesus the righteous. Oh, that's so good to think about. Just look at this list of attacks that the children of God have to face in our lifetime. Everybody faces these attacks from the enemy. Tribulation, to be squeezed or to feel pressure. It's common problems that we face. Tribulation, it is to be tempted, to be cajoled, if you will, to be led into something you think you want, to be convinced that you really want to commit that sin. Then there is distress. The Greek word for that literally means a narrow place. It means to be hemmed in by your own circumstances, to be trapped, no way out, no way through. I don't know if you've ever been to Ruby Falls near Chattanooga. I had the privilege of going a number of years ago. If you get a chance, it's worth the trip to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to go to Ruby Falls and Lookout Mountain. Ruby Falls is a spectacular underground waterfall deep underneath Lookout Mountain. The only access to the falls is through a very narrow tunnel through the caves. Some people won't fit through it. Others are squeezed as they pass through. A tunnel. A narrow, narrow tunnel. Distress means a very narrow place. I remember when I went through there, I was a pretty big fella at the time. I had a lot more weight than I do then. And I remember sucking it up and trying to get through that narrow tunnel. And I was still thought somebody was going to have to push me to get me through. Tight place. Distress. That's what distress is. Persecution. Americans, we do not know what persecution is. It's suffering that's inflicted upon us because we claim the name of Christ. Because we say we're a Christian, we're persecuted. If you live in China, the Chinese government are tearing down churches and destroying all of the steeples on every building in the country because they don't like Christians. In Iran, they behead Christians. In many places, they lob bombs at them. Can you imagine living in Israel and having your neighbor, the Palestinians, constantly lobbing bombs in the middle of the city, always on the lookout, always listening for that whistle through the sky to know that it's a bomb headed in your direction, or to look up and see it as it's on the way, and knowing it's going to hit near you? That, ladies and gentlemen, is persecution. As close as we came to persecution maybe in our lifetime is running out of toilet paper during the coronavirus. That sounds kind of facetious, but it is true. We don't know what persecution really is. We may find out in our lifetimes the way things are going, but God will bring us through that too if it comes to it. And then famine. Famine is sometimes related to the climate because of a drought or other situations. But famine really means, in the language for this particular use of this word, means a lack of necessary resources. You don't have enough food, you don't have enough clothing, don't have enough shelter. Everything is lacking. It's a famine. It's a lacking of necessary resources. This is usually a product of persecution. When you're persecuted, famine generally follows. And then there's nakedness. Now, we don't know what it means to be naked. I mean, I sit here thinking about my own wardrobe, and I pick out the clothes that I call my ragged work clothes. My wife calls them my paint clothes because they're half painted where we've been painting structures in the past. And I look at those clothes and I think, man, I wouldn't want to wear those things to town. But those clothes that I call my worst pair of clothing is probably better than some people's very best pair they'll ever own in their lifetime. That's true. That's the way it is. We are blessed. We don't know what it means to walk out into the street and not have enough clothes to cover our body. We don't know what that means. We don't know the shame of living without enough clothing. But some people in the world do. And then there's the sword. Now, the word sword here is not really specifically referring to the instrument, to the weapon, a sword. It does use that as an illustration because in the days of the Bible, when you said the sword, it meant you're going to kill somebody with it. It's a weapon of taking people's lives. That's what the sword was used for. So when the writer here used the word sword, what that means is a weapon of death. The threat of murder. The threat of being killed or tormented. The threat of imminent and awful danger resulting in your death. That's what the term sword is referring to. And again, we don't know what that means. Not in America. We definitely do not. We've been made more than conquerors, not by avoiding these things, but by being victorious on the other side. God is bringing us through all these things. He's refining our lives just as a goldsmith heats the ore to remove the impurities. God is removing the trials and afflictions to help us get rid of the impurities and the imperfections in our life. He is remaking our lives. He's refinishing our lives. They'll be all new when He's finished. This process is painful because it has to lob off some of the things that need to come off, and it hurts, just like surgery would hurt. But in the end of surgery, you're better than you were before. And when you walk with Christ, there's reason we're more than conquerors. Only one reason, and that is Christ Himself and the blood He shed for us. When you go through these things, you begin to feel unworthy. Remember, you are unworthy, and I am unworthy in and of ourselves. But when you consider God's love for us and the blood He shed that makes us worthy, we are indeed worthy because He loved us. A shop owner placed a sign above his door that said, "Puppies for sale." Signs like this always have a way of attracting young children, and to nobody's surprise, a little boy saw the sign and approached the owner, and he said, "How much are you going to sell these puppies for?" And the store owner replied to the little boy, "Anywhere from $30 to $50. The little boy pulled out some change from his pocket. He said, "I have $2.37. Can I please look at them?" Well, the shop owner smiled and whistled, and out of the kennel came Lady, who ran down the aisle of the shop, followed by five teeny tiny balls of fur. One puppy, the last one in the litter, was lagging behind. Immediately, the little boy singled out the lagging, limping puppy and said, "What's wrong with that little dog?" The shop owner explained that the veterinarian had examined the dog and that he had informed him that he didn't have a hip socket. He'd always be limp. He'd always be lame. Little boy got excited. He said, "That's the puppy I want to buy." And the shop owner said, "No, son, you really don't want to buy that dog. If you really want him, I'll just give him to you." And the little boy got quite upset at that. He looked straight into the store owner's eyes and pointed his finger and said, "I don't want you to give him to me. That little dog is worth every bit as much as all the other dogs. I'll pay full price. In fact, I'll give you my $2.37 now and 50 cents a month till I have him paid for." The shop owner countered and he said, "You really don't want to buy this little dog. He's never going to be able to run and jump and play with you like the other puppies." To his surprise, the little boy reached down, rolled up his pant legs to reveal a badly twisted, crippled left leg supported by a big metal brace. The little boy looked up at the shop owner and he softly replied, "Well, I don't run so well myself, and the little puppy will need someone who understands." Today, you can know that God understands our shortcomings, and He loves us anyway. How good is that? Remember, God loves you with an everlasting love, and we love you too.
Crucified, no. that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span.
Say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.